The reading from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 13. This is continuing the story of Jagai Madai, text 218 and 219 to 20. So here Nityananda is telling Vishambhar, because Vishambhar has asked Nityananda to please deliver Madai. I've delivered Jagai, now you deliver Madai. He says, yes, it will be done. I will do it. You will do it through me. And then he says, whatever piety I've accumulated in any lifetime, Nityananda is saying, I donate it to Madhai. And I don't accept any offense. So in this verse, we hear about the same principle we were discussing in Srimad Bhagavatam class on Nirjal Ekadasi. That's one very large act of Sukriti. This is called Phalan Mukhi Sukriti. There's Phalan Mukhi and what's the other one? I forget. Sanjiva Dharma. It says Phalan Mukhi Sukriti and then, oh yeah. There's Phalan Mukhi Unmukhi Sukriti and Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes there's material piety and there's spiritual piety. Sukriti means piety. The spiritual piety are activities related to the Vaishnavas and Krishna. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavat Saptaha, that is Bhakti Sukriti. And the phal, or the result, gained by Bhakti Sukriti is more Bhakti. Generally, that result takes the shape of meeting a Vaishnava, hearing from a genuine Vaishnava, and increasing the Sukriti to the point where one takes Diksha and begins a life of Bhakti. The Phalan Mukhi Sukriti, this is the material pious activities, and they give material result. If you donate for education, or someone's education, or you give money to build a Vidyalaya, a school, Bhakti Vedanta National School, or we'll just say it's a Karmi school, and by doing that act of, it's called Vidyadan, that is a material act of charity, then in the next life you're rewarded by having, you become Vidvan. You have lots of knowledge. And it goes like this. So you donate Anadan. Anadan means giving food in charity. If you set up an Anakshetra and start distributing food for life, and not say food for life, but regular food, not prasadam, a regular food, so that's Phalan Mukhi Sukriti, that's material piety, which in the next life will give you lots of food. Next life you'll be very healthy and you'll have lots of good meals because you distribute it. So this is a fact that we can, whatever Sukriti we gain, we can donate to another. So that was the principle of asking everyone to observe Nirjal Ekadasi the other day and taking a sankalpa, or rather making a sankalpa, that the Sukriti fall, the result of this pious activity, would be offered to Srila Jayavataka Maharaj with the idea that he would become very quickly healed and healthy and back in Mayapur, actively, healthily preaching. So here, the same principle, Nityananda is telling Vishambhar, yes, whatever piety I've accumulated for many lifetimes, I donated it to Madhai. So that's quite a lot of piety, that's quite a lot of service. Unlimited service that Nittai renders. And it says any lifetime, so in the previous life he was Balaram and then he's Mahavishnu, he's all these different forms. And all these ways and forms, Nityananda, Vishnu, Mahavishnu, etc., he's serving the Lord. So he's giving all that piety to Madhai. So no doubt Madhai will be benefited. So even Nityananda is observing this principle that we're also observing on Ekadasi. Vishambhara bale jadi shamila sakal madaire kola deha hoka safal. Vishambhara replied to Nityananda, if you have actually forgiven Madhai, then embrace him and make his life successful. So this is the true, in one sense, on one level, it's a true expression of someone's acceptance of another person who maybe performed transgression. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I forgive you, and But it's another thing to give a strong embrace. In fact, there's a whole pastime in Chamatkara Chandrika by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, where Krishna dresses up as a female singer and goes to meet Radharani, and then it's a very long pastime, but at one point Radharani becomes upset with realizing that Krishna is disguised as a female singer and entered her house at Yavat. Then he tells her to go. Radharani tells him, you just go from here. And then Krishna, disguised as this woman, she comes out in the main room and rolls on the ground crying, and Jatila says, "What's wrong?" And so, well, then Krishna, disguised as Vidyavali or something like this, the singer, says, "Well, my cousin's sister, I am actually related to your daughter-in-law, Radharani. And my cousin's sister, we had an argument, and now she's told me to go home, and she won't even speak to me." And Jatila said, "What is this? I will make my daughter-in-law, I will ask her to beg forgiveness." And so then she takes Krishna, disguised as a lady, Vidyavali, back into Radharani's bedroom. And her mother-in-law, Jatila, starts saying, "Why are you mistreating your cousin's sister? She's come all the way from Mathura to see you, and this isn't proper. Listen, I'm your mother-in-law, and you have to do whatever I say. You have to beg forgiveness." So then Radharani says, "Okay, please forgive me. My cousin's sister, please forgive me for speaking rudely." And then Jatila says, "Now, just to show that you've made up, you should embrace your cousin's sister. Give her a warm, loving embrace." So then Radharani, because she knows that Krishna is disguised as her cousin, she says, no way, not now, maybe later, not now. And then Jatila says, no, I'm your mother-in-law, and you have to do whatever I say. And then she put her hand on the cousin's sister, Krishna, and Radharani, and she forcibly pushed them together so they would have a tight embrace, loving embrace. And then Jatila gave an order. She said, "Listen, now that you've embraced, now that you've made up, it's very late at night, and it's too late at night for your cousin's sister to return to Mathura. So you listen to me. You forget all your animosity, and your cousin's sister should stay here in your room and sleep with you tonight on the same bed." So then Radharani was angry, and Krishna was smiling. "Oh, this is a very good arrangement. Radharani's mother-in-law is ordering Radharani to keep me in her bed all night." So this is the most extraordinary turn of events, Chamatkara Chandrika, by a moonbeam of astonishment, Chamatkar, astonishment, Chandrika, by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So this, I was seeing this, Gaur Leela is reminding me of Krishna Leela. So Vishambhar is saying, "Listen, if you've really forgotten Madhai, you said I've forgiven Madhai, but I'm not satisfied. I want you to give a strong, loving embrace to Madhai, and that will convince me that you've actually forgiven him." And then he said, "You do this, if you've actually forgiven Madhai, then embrace him and make his life successful." So obviously, if anyone was embraced by Lord Nityananda, his life would be extremely successful. And that's what preaching is all about. Preaching is Karuna Udar, showing compassion and welfare to others, is all about receiving the embrace of Krishna, or rather Nitai. Because Prabhupada often said, as we heard in class, everything is necessary, keep the wheels moving. Every service is important and necessary, but the primary service is to distribute transcendental knowledge. So the preachers are the engine of the train, so to speak. They're the primary. Without the engine, then everything else doesn't really add up to anything. So Prabhupada said, of course, there's two things. You can look up on folio on this term. Prabhupada said, if you want to really please me, then develop pure love for Krishna. So, of course, this applies to preachers and non-preachers or housewives or babysitters or whatever. If you really want to please me, develop pure love for Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, as Jai Vaitamaraj was saying, Prabhupada said, so many things will please him. If you want to please me, take care of this Gita Nagari farm project. If you want to please me, develop the temple of understanding. in Mayapur. But the preachers are, of course, primary. And because they're doing the direct work of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda was going door to door and distributing the message of Krishna consciousness, Balo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shiksha, Bhajra Krishna. So this is a very fast way to get easily recognized by Lord Nityananda. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he glorified, he said, how is it possible that Bhaktivedanta Swami, your Srila Prabhupada, he could distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world in such a short time? Fabulous results. And his understanding was, his godbrother, he said that this is Nityananda Shakti, that your Gurudev was Shakti Avesh of Nityananda, the preaching Shakti, Prachar Shakti of Nityananda. So this is a fact that without power you can't do anything. As we heard this morning, that Kshatriyas have power, they can use their power to do something resourceful for the integration of society and the propagation of Krishna Bhakti. This is the role of the Kshatriyas in cooperation and counsel with the Brahmanas. So the power to preach and the power to distribute Krishna consciousness comes from Nityananda when he's pleased with the attempt and the endeavor. And then one feels the embrace of Nityananda. When one preaches and one distributes books, he feels that, yes, something miraculous is working through me. Some special Shakti. Shakti means power. Kali Kalera Dharma. Krishnanam Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vine Nahi Tara Pravartan. Without Krishna Shakti, we cannot preach. So what specific Krishna's Parasya Shakti Ravadaya Shriyate Sobhavaki Gana Balakriya Cha. He has so many unlimited Shaktis, which are analyzed in three basic ones. Gyan, Bala, and Kriya. So this specific potency which spreads Krishna consciousness around the world, that specific potency which establishes the existence of Krishna Bhakti in the hearts of the jiva is called Sandini. Sandini Shakti is the establishment potency, the foundational potency, the field, the kshetra, the bhakti field. So that's Nityananda, Nityananda Shakti. First Balaram, Nityananda prepares the womb of Devaki for Krishna to come. So this is, first of all, kam, krodh, lobh, everything is destroyed. The six children of Devaki, representing kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. Then Balaram came to establish this Vishuddha Sattva Kshetra, the proper abode for Krishna to manifest. That's the seventh child, and the eighth child, of course, is Krishna. So that's what happens with us. Nityananda establishes, Guru represents Nityananda, establishes the field to perform bhakti. So that means that Vishnubhar is saying, surely if Madai receives your embrace, safal, everything will be fruitful. It's interesting, the context of the statement which Prabhupada made, the context was Atlanta, Georgia, ISKCON, USA, which is known as New Panihati Gram. Panihati, of course, is a place where Nityananda distributed the mercy to Raghunath Das Goswami, received the loving service of Damayanti and Raghava Pandit, and also distributed so much mercy to all the devotees there, Panihati. And ISKCON goes every year, distributes 50,000 or 40,000 plates of khichdi or something like that around Gaur Purnim time. Maybe you've gone. We went 1 year, Panihati. I think it's Panihati. Oh, no, that's Shantipur, maybe. I get confused. Yeah, that's Shantipur. But Panihati, there's also the Panihati festival, maybe chip rice festival in the summertime. A small group goes. I've been both places. I got confused. So this Panihati Gram in America, at this particular occasion when Prabhupada was there in 1975, that was the peak of the Sankirtan movement in terms of Prabhupada's presence here, 75, 76. And all the Sankirtan devotees collected in Atlanta, Tamal Krishna and his big bus party, and Vishnujan and so many other bus parties were there, and Tristadumna, they're all there. And so they're all very enthusiastic. They just came in from the field of distributing books, hundreds and thousands of books, and they're all meeting with Prabhupada. Somebody asked the question, Prabhupada, what service will please you the most? It was called begging the question. Asking a question and anticipating an answer that you want to hear, which will facilitate your particular angle. So then Prabhupada said, if you all develop pure love for Krishna, that will please me the most. So this is, he's telling all the Sankirtan devotees. Once he got on a Radha Damodar bus, and the driver, the devotee was driving, one of the initiated devotees was a driver, and they were all saying, Prabhupada, we do so many books. Oh, the bus leader was there, Drishtadyumna. He said, Prabhupada, we do so many books. And he said, who is this? And so he's the driver. So then he asked the driver a shloka from Bhagavad Gita. So do you please tell me this shloka from Bhagavad Gita? And they'll start, whatever, some shloka he asked, can you tell me the shloka which describes that Krishna takes away your sins, whatever. And the driver didn't know the shloka. It was a very common shloka, Sarva Dharman Pratijah. Prabhupada said, what is this? So many books going out, but don't even read my books? You don't even read them? You don't even know the content? So this is also important. Prabhura Agya. Aghyaya Kaila Drida Alingan Madaira Haila Sarva Bandana Mochan Madaira De Nityananda Praveshila Sarva Shakti Samanvita Madai Haila. On the order of Vishambar, Nityananda tightly embraced Drida, very firm, and Drida Alingana, tightly embraced Madhai, who as a result was freed from all material bondage. Nityananda entered the body of Madhai, Madhai Dehi Nityananda Pravesh, and Madhai became filled with all energies, Sarva Shakti Samanvita. So that's what happens, that when someone surrenders, here's the Prabhura Agya. The Prabhura Agya to Nitai is embrace Madhai and free him from his offense and give him the mercy. That's the order of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya has given us an order also. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya guru hanatare desh. Right? On my order, my agya, amara agya, prabhura agya, on my order, tell anyone, everyone, someone, somewhere, somehow, tell them about Krishna's shiksha. Tell them the teachings of Krishna and Gita and Bhagavatam. Enlighten them about the science of Krishna bhakti. So that order is on our head. That order was on Nityananda's head. So he accepted that order. And then Nityananda entered into the body of Madhai and Sarva Shakti Samanvita and filled Madhai with all of his potencies. So that's what happens. We surrender to Mahaprabhu's order. Then Nityananda enters our body. Nityananda enters the body of the preacher. He enters the body of the book distributor, along with all his shaktis, sarva shakti. The preacher gets mystic power, the preacher gets satyavacham, he gets vag siddhi, he gets mind control, he gets anima siddhi, he gets lagima siddhi. All the siddhis come to the preacher. And you might say, huh? What? How? So anima siddhi means to become smaller than the smallest. Right? So I remember, and when I was full-time book distributor, entering a big shopping mall. And when we pulled up to the shopping mall, there's a big sign posted on the wall at the entrance door. Any solicitors, this is a private shopping mall, any solicitors means like salesmen, caught inside this mall selling religious books, etc., will be legally prosecuted and arrested. So when we pulled up, we looked out at that sign, and the Sankirtan leader said, yes, see? They're welcoming us. This sign is for us. Anyone who comes here to distribute books will be arrested and put in jail. So this is the mark. This is the mall for us. And then we said, yeah, okay. So then we jumped out of the van like paratroopers jumping out of an airplane to parachute into enemy territory. And of course we had karmic clothes, regular clothes on, and then we, you know, or whatever, depending on your religious background. And then or you say Om Vishnu, Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, or Jai Nisringadev. So we said, all right, this is the order of Lord Chaitanya to go everywhere and preach. So we entered the mall. And we're in the mall and we're praying to Lord Nisringadev, please make me invisible. Anima Siddhi. Anima, anoraniya mahato mahiyan. Anima means smaller than the smallest. Smaller than Adam, you can go through the keyhole of a door. And there's a keyhole in the door, you can go through and enter another room. You can go through walls. It's very, it becomes so small, like atomic. So he's praying, this is an impossible engagement. There are security guards, policemen all over this mall. This very hi-fi, ritzy type, wealthy mall. And the people here have a lot of money, and I want to get all that money and give them these bhagavatams and bring all that money back to the temple. So, because these people are really suffering. So my continual prayer is a very interesting prayer for a devotee. Usually pray, please purify my heart. Please bless me with prema bhakti. Please reveal yourself in my heart. I like this. But I was praying, please make me invisible. I only have one prayer. My service will go on automatically, but please make me invisible. So I was going here and there, and then the security guard, and I'd see a security guard in these aisles, and he'd be looking this way, and I would just turn the other way and look like I'm buying a shirt or something. And then some man, lady, come, excuse me, take this book. And I was in that mall for hours and hours. And then I remember hearing, like in the aisle next to where I was, security guard says, have you seen this guy with a blue shirt and, you know, gray pants or whatever, you know. Have you seen this guy? I've been looking for him for hours. And the lady said, no, I haven't seen him. I was hearing that. So somehow this guy, and even sometimes we would pass, I would see him coming down the aisle. I'd say, and he would walk right by me, and he would just be looking like this. Where is that guy? Where is the guy? And I expect him putting his arm like this, because I've had that experience. Put his arm like this. But it never happened. So we realized that by the mercy of Nityananda, the Sarvashakti Samanvita, that all the powers of Nityananda come into one. So all mystic powers, power of conviction, controlling people. Vag Siddhi means that whatever you say will become true, and your words influence people. And so we saw people, they just do whatever you say, practically. So this is what's being told here, that Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, Sarva Shakti Samanvita Madai Haila, that all the powers of Nityananda entered into the body. By the will of the Lord, Vishambar, Sri Nityananda Prabhu lovingly embraced Madai, who had attacked him, and invested him with his own energies. On the strength of Nityananda's energies, Madai became filled with all good qualities. After becoming freed from the propensity for material enjoyment and empowered to engage in Lord's service, they were now qualified to offer prayers with selected verses. Hena mate ujanete pahila mochan dui jane stuti kari dujera charan. In this way, Jagai and Madai were delivered, and they began to offer prayers at the lotus feet of the two lords. Prabhu bale tora ara nakarissa papa jagamade bale ara nare papa. The Lord said, Vishambar, Jagai Madai, do not commit any further sins. Jagai Madai replied, never again, O Lord. Ara nare bap. Bap means, O Lord. Or means father or Lord. It's an affectionate way of saying Lord, actually. Bap. Aranare Bap. Prabhu Bale Shuna Shuna Tora Duijan Satya Satyami Tore Karilana Mochan Koti Koti Janme Jata Ache Papator Arajadi Nakaris Sabadhaya Mor. Vishnubhar said, listen, both of you. I have indeed delivered you today. I take full responsibility for whatever sinful activities you have performed in your previous millions of lifetimes, provided you do not commit sin again. So this is the actual point. Sometimes they ask the question, does the guru, at Diksha, does the guru take the sins of the disciple? And of course the question is that Krishna takes. A guru is like the messenger. Vishnubhar is saying, I'm taking. Nityananda was giving the mercy, but Vishnubhar is saying, I'm taking the sins. Nityananda is the preacher. He's acting here on my order. So the guru is acting on the order. Amara agaya guru hanatara desh. So become guru. So the guru, he doesn't directly take the sins. Although sometimes Prabhupada said that I'm suffering because of the sins of my disciples. But this is actually, generally, someone of Prabhupada's caliber, it's told that they would never have to suffer, but it may be Prabhupada's own statement just to elicit a more proper behavior from his disciples. Because if a guru was to suffer all the sins from every disciple he initiated, how would he stand on 2 feet? Srila Jayapataka Maharaj has, 10,000 disciples or something. It's quite a lot. And so that's an incredible volume of sinful activities to digest. So it all, Krishna's taking it all, as he says in Gita, Sarva dharman pratyaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva, he says aham, he doesn't say guru tvam, a guru. Aham tvam sarva papevyo, I take all the sins. So generally the Gaudiya Acharyas, they say like this, that the elevated Vaishnava, the pure devotee, he's transparent. He's transparent because he's not deriving any sense pleasure, sense enjoyment from his service. He's simply engaging in the Lord's service, so everything goes to the Lord. And another question is that they ask, well, what if a disciple falls down? If he falls down, is a guru responsible for his sinful activities? So the answer is given right here by the Lord. He says that, I take full responsibility for all your sins, provided you do not commit sin again. So if a disciple falls down, then that like breaks the contract. Because the contract is, I promise to follow these four regulative principles and engage in bhakti bhajan. So a disciple falls away or falls down and does all abominable activities, there's nothing coming to the guru and nothing going to Krishna. His sins committed are his own responsibility. Krishna's not assuming responsibility. The contract is broken. If you have an insurance policy and you pay your premium, then you have fire insurance on your house. But if you don't pay your yearly fees, what they call premium, and your house gets on fire, you call the insurance company, oh, please give me some insurance, my house burned down. He says, no, your policy is void. You haven't paid your fees. Your policy is null and void. It's a contract. Well, it's the same with Guru. He doesn't. The disciple falls, and that's his. Because this is how the contract works. Krishna takes all the sins for millions of lifetimes, and don't sin anymore, and everything's fine. If you sin again, that's on you. You have to pay the bill. Krishna is not going to take. I take full responsibility for whatever sinful activities you have performed in your previous millions of lifetimes, provided you do not commit sin again. Is that clear? To donhara muke muni kariba ahar tora dehi hayabeka mora avatar. Vishnubhar said, I will eat through the mouths of you too, and I will incarnate in your bodies. Prabhura shunya vakya jagai madhai anande morchita hai padilatatai. On hearing the Lord's words, Jagai Madai fell unconscious in ecstasy. Mohagela dvi vipra ananda sagar bhujiyagya karilena prabhu vishambari. The illusion of the two brahmanas was thus destroyed, and they merged in an ocean of ecstasy, ananda sagar. Knowing this, Lord Vishambar instructed them as follows. So they're two happy personalities, very, very happy. They have just been delivered from untold, unlimited numbers of sins. So relieved, and they felt so, they were merged in an ocean of happiness. The heavy burden and heavy weight of all their sins has been taken away by the mercy of the Lord, Vishambhar and Nityananda. It's as if you're climbing up a mountain, you have a huge rucksack or a backpack on your back with 100 kilos in it. And then someone comes along and says, oh, there's no need to take that. We can put it on a mule, put it on a donkey. You can just walk free. I'll take the load. And as soon as that load comes off your back, you feel, oh, such relief. I feel like a different person. I can run, I can jump, I can skip. With that burden on my back, I could hardly move, I could hardly walk. My back was bent over from the heavy weight. I was huffing and puffing, I could barely take one step up the mountain. But now I'm running up the mountain, so relieved. And that's what happens in diksha. When one takes diksha, then he feels so much relieved that this all this heavy burden, this cloud over his head has been lifted. And he feels, it's called dvija. Dvija means second birth, new birth, new life, clean slate, wide open road. When it's a wide open road, you can go very fast without any impediments or difficulty. So that's what's being said here, that the Jagai Madai, they felt so much relieved, they just fell unconscious. The impact or the force of that relief was so great that they fell unconscious. Dui jane tuli loha, amara badite kirtana kariba dui jane rasahite. See, Vishambhar is still speaking here. And he's saying, this is all Vishambhar's preaching. And he said, please pick up these two and bring them to my house. Today we will perform kirtan with these two. Kirtan kariba. Dui janera sahite. So they Jagai Madai are collapsed on the ground. They merged in the Ananda Sagar, the ocean of bliss. And now Lord Chaitanya is fully accepting him. He's not just saying, okay, you're free from your sins, carry on, don't bother me. I freed you from your sins, now you've collapsed and you've obtained bliss. So relish your own bliss. You go your way, I'll go mine. But no, he's liberated them, freed them from all their sins, merged them in an ocean of bliss, and then invited them close into his association. Now you become an Antaranga Bhakta. Now you come into Shiva Sangam. Now you have a personal invitation. You will be allowed in the house of Shiva's Thakur for those confidential nocturnal kirtans where only 200 people in all of Navadvipa Mandal were allowed. Only 200. Now it's 202. So the Sangha is growing. 202. So they can't even move. They're unconscious. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, hey, look, someone pick them up. Pick them up and carry them to Srivas's house, and by the time they get there, maybe they'll wake up and come out of their blissful swoon. And then Mahabhu goes on to say, Brahmara durlaba aji e donhari diba, e donhari jagatera uttama kariba. Today I will award them, aji, that which is rare even for Brahma. I will place them in the topmost position in this world. So they went from the bottom to the top, the elevator of good fortune. After forgiving the rogue's offenses, the causelessly merciful Gaurasundar awarded them the qualification to participate in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. From the material point of view, these two were antisocial atheists. They were uplifted from extreme abomination and awarded the qualification to engage in the topmost service of Lord Vishnu, which is Sankirtan. The good fortune that Lord Brahma, the grandfather of all living entities, is worthy of, yet unable to achieve, these two attain superior good fortune as they obtain the position of topmost Vaishnavas. The extent of Gaurasundara's mercy has no limit. Through his causeless mercy, he can permanently elevate the most fallen and unqualified persons to the highest platform. Well, amen. By his causeless mercy, Lord Chaitanya can elevate the most fallen and unqualified persons to the highest platform. Well, there's hope for all of us. Some of us aren't so fallen, but some are hopelessly fallen. Helplessly fallen, but Gaurasundara is so kind. He goes on to say, Edui parashe je karila ganga snan, edon hari balibe se gangara saman. Those who took bath in the Ganga after being touched by these two will now say that these two are equal to the Ganga. So before Jagai and Madai got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, if people happen to see these two rogues or touch them, what would happen? Their own sinful propensities would awaken. But after receiving the Lord's mercy, the unholy darshan of these two rogues has today become as purifying as a touch of the Ganga, which destroys all sins. So now they become pavitristan, become places of purity if anyone contacts them. Like they say that repeated baths in the Ganga, there's one bhajan, purifies one. But if one sees the face of a Vaishnava, especially engaged in pure devotional service, he gets purified on the spot. Pavitra darshan. Tomara. O Vaishnava Thakura, tomara pavitra darshan. Your darshan is most purifying, more purifying than a Ganga snan. Interesting point that Siddhanta Saraswati makes in his purport, which is of course described in other places, that by touching a sinful person, touching their body, your sinful propensity, or one's sinful propensity will increase, or by seeing the face of a sinful person, one's sinful propensities, which means the latent or the dormant tendency to do the wrong thing or to commit sinful activities, to steal, to lie, to enjoy intoxication or illicit sex, or all these type of sinful activities, becomes awakened by touching. That's why Sanatana Goswami, when he was in Puri, he went all the way around the beach because he said, oh, I don't want to bump against the pujaris of the Puri temple, because the road to Mahaprabhu's Gambira house goes right by the temple where all the pujaris pass on their way to the temple for their service. And I have this itching sores on my body. If I bump into them, I will contaminate their body. So it's a fact that bumping into bodies, you physically get contaminated, but also metaphysically you take on the person's bad qualities or good qualities. By embracing Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis, if you're a Vaishnavi, then we take on the good qualities of that Vaishnava. We get some boost for bhakti. But the interesting point is by seeing. Because in another place, it's told that when Mahaprabhu was moving down the pathways by the Ganga, when he would see, which apparently was somewhat rare 500 years ago, when Mahaprabhu would see the face of a lusty person, he would immediately jump in the Ganga with his dhoti and chadar, with his clothes on, to counteract that contaminated darshan of just seeing the face of a lusty person. In other places it's told in Shastra that when one sees the face of a lusty person, he should look at the sun, Surya Narayan, if it's a daytime, I suppose. I guess you don't go out at night. But it only says if I look at the sun, it doesn't say look at the moon. But it says look at the sun. So there's two things going on here, that if these are the two reactions that one should perform if he sees a lusty person. So there's only two things that we'll be doing all day. Either we'll stay in the Ganga all day because there's so many lusty people, or we'll be looking at the sun all day. So either way, people may think you're a little strange. If you don't come out of the Ganga all day, you'll turn into a raisin. I mean, or a prune or something. Your skin will just shrivel all up. And if you look at the sun all day, you'll go blind. So either way, it's what to do. So what to do is, because someone might say, well, we chant Hare Krishna. It's more purifying than anything. Well, Lord Chaitanya was also chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was certainly chanting Hare Krishna when he was in Navadvipa. But when he saw the face of a lusty person, he jumped in. And so Vishwambhara is saying that people would see the face of Jagai and Madai, and just seeing their sinful faces would increase their sinful propensities. But now if they see the faces of Jagai and Madai, or now surrendered to Lord Gauranga and now engaged in devotion, they will become purified. So another point to consider is, if devotees, of course, in one place Prabhupada said, my disciples do not read newspapers. I mean, Prabhupada himself read a few newspapers, because even on a daily basis he would get some idea of what was going on in different temples around the world and see the political situation for his travels. Other than that, he had no interest. But he did make a statement one time that my disciples do not read newspapers. If they directly need it for their service, that's one thing, but most of the time they don't. So when we look in newspapers or on television, see these newscasters and ladies and anchor men or whatever they call them, they're all a bunch of lusty people. Most of them are all sinful people engaging in all sinful activities. So we're looking at their faces on television, what to speak if someone goes to a movie or in a newspaper, and it's all contaminating. It's called bhog samskara, bhog samskaras. And samskaras, all of our senses are connected to our chitta. All the senses of the body are connected to the chitta. Chitta is the one definition of chitta is a fine layer separating the atma from the hankar. It's not mentioned in Gita. Gita mentions 8 elements, but in many discussions of Sankhya, they talk about 9 elements. Or sometimes they describe it as an aspect of the atma, because there's shuddha chit, and then there's pure chit, and then there's contaminated chit. Like we say, cheto dharpana marjanam. Cheto dharpana marjanam. Cleaning the chit. So this chit is actually a level of reality. And any activities we engage in, sense the impressions. If we like something, that's why Krishna tells in Gita, don't like something and don't dislike something. Aversion is the opposite side of attraction. At least it's the translation in Gita. Aversion, which means disgust or lack of interest or even hatred or something, is the opposite side of liking or loving. Like some Hindus, they say, oh, I hate Muslims. Or the Arabs and the Jews or something. Jews say I hate Arabs, and Arabs say I hate Jews. Or the Irish say I hate the English, and English say I hate the Irish. And blacks say I hate the whites, and whites say I hate the blacks. And all these kind of things go on. So this hatred creates very strong sanskara in the chitta, which can force one. So there's bhakti samskaras and there's bhog samskaras. And the most powerful impressions in the chitta are formulated by the visual. The impulses from the sound vibration and the impulses from, this is just in terms of yoga, yoga philosophy, the most powerful impulses and that create the deepest impression on the chitta is the visual. And an example is given in 6th canto of Bhagavatam, and the story of a Jamil. He was a Brahmin, young Brahmin boy, and he was going to the forest to collect flowers for Thakurji's seva, for Shalagram service. And when he was in the forest, he saw a Sudra and a Shudrani embracing and doing whatever, XYZ, whatever, in the forest, a man and woman, lusty man and woman. And seeing that made such a deep samskara on his brain. He couldn't remove that impression, that bhog samskara. It was deeply etched. You can say etched, like they etch glass. Sometimes they etch a design in glass. Or you can say branding, like they South India, they brand the chakra and I guess conch shell and chakra on the arms. That's called branding. This type of deep impression. This is called samskara, deep impression in the chitta, which causes one to think in a certain way. And then that thinking, of course, vasana arises from the samskara. Vasana means desire. And if the samskara is very strong, then one thinks about that samskara, then coming up from that is a vasana. I like to use the analogy of a pot of water on the stove. The pot of water is like the pot is the chitta, and the water is the impressions. The water is the samskaras. And when you turn the fire on underneath the pressure cooker, then the water in the pot gets hot, right? And then lets off steam. So the steam are the vasanas, the desire. So the more you boil that water, the more it keeps steaming and letting out, that little pressure cooker has a little cap on it. So boiling is contemplation. and contemplate the samskara, contemplate the impression that's stored there, then that boils, in other words, this chitta, which is holding these samskaras, and then if you contemplate that bhog samskara, then it's the boiling water. The pot is just the chitta, but then the impression starts boiling, and then it lets off steam, and the steam is vasana, which means intense desire to act according to that impression. So, karmani nirahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. In Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma is saying, this karmani nirahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. By doing bhakti bhajan, then karmani nirahati. Karmani nirahati. The karma bijas, the punya bijas, and the papa bijas become burned in the chitta. The surface of the chitta becomes cleansed. That's why we say Cheto Dharvana Marjanam. So this chanting, by doing bhakti, we simultaneously burn the seeds of punya and pap and remove those impressions. And then if there's no samskaras, there can't be any vasana. Vasana is a result of samskaras. So we remove the samskaras from the root by removing the samskaras from the chitta. That's going on by bhakti. We cleanse what's ever there and we implant into the chitta, we place into the chitta bhakti samskaras, which are favorable. That's why a child takes birth in someone's family in Mayapur, and he's 2 years old, or 1 year old, picks up the mridanga, and he's, Haribo, hey, what is this? So this is his bhakti samskara. He was playing mridanga in kirtan in his last life. That's a good samskara, bhakti samskara. So he goes in a natural direction that way. And like this. So this visual is very, very important. So we have to be careful what we put on the outside of our eyeballs, who we look at and what we see. It's the most powerful. It creates, the shastras are telling that the deepest impressions in the chitta are created by the visual. That's why pornography means naked pictures of women, men, movies, all these things. They're such a powerful agent of degradation because it's visual. There used to be magazines, people buy these dirty, bad magazines with pornography, dirty pictures, naked men or women, whatever. And looking, and then burning your CD. I say, burn Nehru burning program. burn a program on a CD. So you're burning a samskara into your chitta by repeatedly contemplation of the objects of the senses. This is, I'm just giving you a more maybe scientific or detailed aspect of Bhagavad Gita. So this becomes inescapable. The samskara becomes so deep that you can't avoid it. And then so you're looking at these magazines, looking around, now it's on internet. You go on the computer, all these brahmacharis, you know, they have computers in their office and they're doing their work and when no one's looking, then they go on internet and they look at naked pictures. And then you say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm working on the computer. Well, you're so much absorbed in that computer. What's going on over there with that computer? So at least I know in other places, a lot of maya computers, like any instrument that can be properly used or improperly used. You can take a knife and cut off a boil, or you can take a knife and cut your wife's throat. You know, the same surgical knife. If the doctor goes crazy and out of envy or hatred, he can take the surgical knife used to cut off a boil, which is a good thing, and cut his neck. So computers can be used in good way or bad way. So that we have to be very careful and really check. If you hear something, you go down the street and you hear down, 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 chicka boom, pum, pum, chicka boom, oh, I love you, this, that. You hear some songs, these music songs, of course they're all Bengali and Hindi, but if you know some of that language, then it makes some samskara. And you bump into a few people in the market, or you go in a temple, we don't know who's in a temple, or here or there, you touch bodies with so many people on public conveyances. And there's some samskara, some impression made, and you taste something here and there, or whatever. These all make samskaras, either positive or negative, but the visual is the most powerful. That's why we're so much encouraged to take darshan, sadhus, see the deities regularly. Prabhupada was spending hours and hours looking at the Mulaks, Radha Govinda deities in Calcutta. He was spending so much time there. So one should be very careful to check the movements of his eyes. This is how it happens. She winked at me. The brahmachari says, I was doing fine until this brahmachari, and he looked at me. She smiled and winked at me. Now I can't sleep at night. So this, they say the eyes of the woman are the arrows, and the eyebrows are the bows. Doing. These are the bow, the danu. This is the danu and this is the bana. Bana means arrow. But our Krishna is pushpabana. Right? Kamadevaya vidmahe, pushpabana. He has pushpabana. His eyebrows are more attractive. His eyes are more attractive. His touch, his taste, his smell, his fragrance. These five arrows are the five. So man, first he sees the woman, like Ajamil. Then seeing creates such a deep impression that, I see, then I want to hear the voice, so I have to talk. Didn't I see you on Brajmandal Parikrama and Kartik? Yeah. I saw you too. You were playing Mardanga, right? Yeah. I was playing Mardanga. So then seeing, then hearing. And of course, in this category, seeing is believing. In our category, in the spiritual life, hearing is believing. We believe what we hear. Our eyes are imperfect, but Shabda Brahman is perfect. It goes like this. I think everybody knows how it goes. I don't have to give a class in the birds and the bees. It's self-evident, and everyone will have their own realizations about the evidence. Nityananda Pratigya Anyata nahi hai Nityananda Icha e Janiha Nishchai. Vishnumara goes on, the determination of Nityananda is never baffled. This is pratigya. Pratigya means promise also. Know it for certain that this was the desire of Nityananda. Nityananda Icha Nishchai. So Vishnumara is saying, yes, he's telling everyone, I'm ordering Nityananda to embrace Madhai, free him from his sins, give him the mercy. And he's following the order. But actually, he wanted to do this all along. This is why he went to approach them to begin with. It was his Nityananda's icha. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Jagai madai sabha vaishnave darya prabhura bhadira abhyantare gelalana. Thereafter, all the Vaishnavas caught hold of Jagai madai and took them inside the Lord's house. So the Lord accepts us, and then the Vaishnavas accept us. So the Lord accepts us when the devotees accept us. So the Guru accepts us. We're nobody. We're wandering the streets. We're nobody. We don't have any parivar. We don't have anything. And then we get initiated by Srila Prabhupada. Then we, at least the Western people, then we have, now we have a gotra. Then we're a chuta gotra. We have a spiritual family of Krishna. And now we're disciples. We're shishya. And we have Guru Bhai and Guru Bain. We have God brothers and God sisters. We enter a family. Before, it's like, you're coming, you're so-and-so coming to the Sunday feast. And people preach to you and they encourage you. But it's not the same. When you join, you're initiated. You took initiation from Prabhupada. Yes. Oh, great. And then they embrace you. So, what's your name? Jagai Das. or whatever. Jagai Madai Das. What's your name? And then everyone's so happy, and then they go around and they tell other devotees, so and so, he's initiated. So now you a whole new life, opens up. You have a new family of loving and cooperative friends and God brothers, and it's so wonderful. And I can never forget those early days when we joined. And then you go somewhere and they say, who are you? And they say, you're Prabhupada. Yes, okay, there's that. Mahaprasad, there's that. There's so much camaraderie and so much friendship automatically because you've been accepted. You've been accepted by Prabhupada. And now you're accepted by all of us. So that this is Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying that the Vaishnavas are watching. This Madai, Jagai, all right, Vishnubhar accepted Jagai. And now what about Madai? He's the real culprit. He's the villain. He's the bad guy. He's the one that threw the pot at Nityananda. We don't like Madhai. He's no good. So everybody was anti-Madhai. All the Vaishnavas. Nittai was offended. Imagine Haridas. Everyone was not feeling very happy about Madhai. Oh, Vishambhar is extending so much mercy. He's ordered Nittai to deliver him. And Nittai's embraced him, and all the powers of Nittai have entered into Madhai. Oh, this is wonderful. Wonderful. And then the Lord's saying, yes, bring them along. They can come. Bring them into the kirtan. They can join us now. They can enter the kirtan party. The Vaishnavas were very happy. Oh, great, come on, Jagai Madhai. You're not two drunks anymore. You're one of us. You're with a family now. You're in the mafia. Yeah. Vaishnav mafia. Mafia means family. Mafia. Aptagana sambhaila prabhura sahite padila kapatakaro shakti nahi jaite. The intimate associates, Aptagan, entered along with the Lord. The door was then closed, and others were not allowed to enter. So, kapat, padila kapat karo shakti nahi jaite. That's interesting. So there you have it. This private sangha, and only the by invitation. Right? Always say no submission, no permission, no permission, no admission. We have this little phrase. So if there's no submission to Guru, there's no permission to engage in Lord's service. And without permission without that permission, there's no admission to the spiritual world. So no submission, no permission, no permission, no admission. So Madhai and Jagai first, then Madhai, they submitted themselves, they surrendered. So then they got permission to engage in devotional service. And the Lord invited them, gave them admission into the most confidential setting. Because what is this? Basically, he's saying, Jagai and Madhai, come out of the gutter, come out of the cesspool of sinful life, and enter the rasa dance. Because to come into the evening kirtan at Shiva Sangam means to enter the rasa dance. Because that's the rasastali. That's the Mayapur Navadvip rasastali. When they do kirtan, they go into Brajabhav. It's all the same time is going on. These Navadvip Vrindavan are two rooms in the same house. It's like overlay. They call it overlay. You may have some drawing on a piece of paper, and then there's some butter paper over top of that with the same drawing and an image. It's called an overlay. So it's one lotus flower overlaid over another lotus flower. There's like two lotus flowers, a lotus of Braj and a lotus of Navadvip. So you can be in one lotus and the other lotus. One lotus goes to the other goes to the other. Audarya becomes Madhurya, Madhurya becomes Audarya. Sometimes Radharani shows her Audarya. She's alone with Krishna. And then she says, oh, go spread the mercy. Show your Audarya, show your magnanimity. And Krishna says, but no, I want to be with you. No one can thrill me and satisfy me more than you. She says, no, but so many sakis are there in the kunja, and they're also very eager to serve you and please you. It is my agya. You become Audarya, become merciful. Because Madhurya is sweetness relished for itself, by itself, of itself. It's ingoing. Madhurya is going within. One going within the other. There's just the sweetness is self-contained sweetness. It's just contained within itself, and then it expands within itself and creates so many bhavas, all the way up to Divyonmad, Madanakya Mahabhav. But then that's the implosion. There's implosion going inward, then there's explosion going outward. Implosion, explosion. Contraction, expansion. So the contraction of divine love is Radha and Krishna Yuga. But the expansion of divine love is Rasaraj Mahabhav. So that expanse of love goes so far and so extensive that it covers the entire universe. That the prema of Lord Gauranga is spread throughout the entire universe, which is none other than the prema of Radha and Krishna Yuga. So Radharani, she's with Krishna. All that's confined and contained, but her karuna, because this is the karuna aspect of Mahaprabhu, karuna mayi radha, is entered the heart. That heart that Krishna is taking, he's taking the heart of Radharani, the complexion, the kanti and the bhav. So that heart is Karuna Mayi's heart. Because Krishna wants to relish the bhav. He wants to taste Radharani's love, but Radharani says, no, distribute. So then distribution is going on also. This is Radharani's icha. So that audarya is coming from the heart of Radharani. Go meet the other sakis. And he says, I don't want to go. He says, no, it will please me if you go. All right. So that's Saudarya. There's Madhurya Leela, but it becomes Saudarya because when Krishna comes out, then he's thinking, oh, shall I go first to Lita Sakhi or Vishakha Sakhi, Tungavidya, Chitra, Champa? Oh, I'll go to all at the same time. So then when it's Vibhuti with his powers, then he expands himself and visits all the Sakhis at the same time. This is Saudarya. Magnanimity, distribution to one and all. So the lotuses and Mahaprabhu is in dancing with in the Shiva Sangam at night, 11:30, 12:30. This is the Rasa Geet, Rasa Kirtan, and they're relishing the dancing of each other. And when Mahaprabhu sees the full moon rising over the Saraswati or Jalangi, then he remembers, oh yes, Ras Leela, Krishna Chandra, the full moon night of the Vasant Purnima, and then he enters in deep into Braj Bhav. Now Adharya Dham becomes Madhurya Dham. One lotus overlaid on the other lotus. One lotus comes up, and the other lotus one lotus rises, the other lotus recedes. So now it's not really Navadvip lotus. Now it's Vrindavan lotus, and everyone's in their female identities in their Bhav. Swarup Damodar sing beautiful songs about Ras Leela on the banks of Jamuna Pulin or in Govardhan Rasastali, Vasant Rasastali. And he's singing Das Kirtan and relishing Navadvip Bhav. And now he's following the mood and indication of Mahaprabhu. Now he's entering the mood. He becomes Lita Sakhi and starts singing this Rasa Geet. So these two lotuses are like this, going one by one. So we continue there tomorrow.